All right. Welcome to the March Amish Voice Conference Call. Tonight the topic is the importance of daily time alone with God. So it's something we all need. So, Joe, you want to begin with prayer?
Yes. Father, we thank you for this time that we can just get together as your family and discuss and challenge and encourage each other. I pray that the Spirit of God would now take control of our minds and take control of our thoughts, Lord. Help us, Father, to build each other up. And Lord, I pray that your name tonight would be said over and over and over. We help us to learn from each other. I pray that you would help us to protect us from the evil one so that he cannot in any way influence us this evening. And I'll just pray these things in Jesus' name. I also pray, Lord, that you just give Paul wisdom. Lord, I pray that you would give just lead Paul as he sets this up tonight and help people to think of scriptures and whatever, Lord, you want to be brought to the table. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Yeah, I'll start off by giving the phone number in case you want to write it down, give it to somebody else to listen to this recording or any other recording again. So call in later. You can dial 641-715-3800. It's 641-715-3800 and enter the PIN number 89752. So welcome to March 1st. Probably have some snow. Tonight's topic is the importance of daily time alone with God. So join us next month where we plan to start going through some of our ABC studies. We might have taken some of those, or you can contact us and we can send them to you. And so April 5th, we plan to talk about the Bible. What is it? How should we use it? Why do we need it? And then in May, the discussion is for the letter C, the church. What is a biblical church? Is everyone who attends church part of the body of Christ? So tonight, about our relationship with God. Why do we need to spend time with God? So what's the difference if you have a job, you get a week off paid, you leave for a week, and yet you might get along with your coworkers and like your boss, but you don't really look forward to going back, most people. Or what's the difference between that and if your spouse or your children go away, or if you go away for a week from your family, and you can't wait to get back, you can't wait to talk to them or see them again? What makes the difference between those two types of relationships? That was a question, usually followed by an answer.
One, you say, one, you have to do it. The other one, you want to do it. The top of my head.
Right. Any other ideas? Yeah, you're right, Jake. It's a matter of love.
Yeah, matter of love. There
one
you go.
One is a working relationship. Yeah, one is a working relationship, something you need to do or you have to do, and one is something you want to do. You don't usually can't wait to see your boss or your coworkers, but you want to go see your spouse or your children.
Yes.
Which kind of relationship should a Christian have with God?
Love.
A lot of people have the first kind of relationship. They go to church because they're supposed to. They read the Bible or pray before they eat because they're supposed to.
Got me, yeah.
But how many get up and can't wait to spend time with God, can't wait to see him, to be with him? You look forward to that, to him being with you, and you get to be with him. So how is it with you? What kind do you have with God? If we don't look forward to being with God, then our relationship probably isn't very strong, or we might not love him. Any ideas or thoughts or any personal stories?
Yeah, I think for me, Paul, sometimes it's impossible to stay up at a level 10 all the time. Although in my heart, I would desire that constantly walking at, if a relationship could be measured 1 to 10, I would want to have it at a 10 all the time. There are times, I think, and I've learned that oftentimes at night when everything's done, all the racket is going, and maybe you're laying in bed and it's just about the last 10, 15 minutes before you fall asleep, there's that connecting time with God. And just honestly, if I could speak and just share that one of the things that during this time of the year when it's so freezing cold out and you have this warm bed that you can lay in and you're just laying there, and for a moment you just realize that what you have here is a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you think about that and you begin to think about what God has done for you and you draw near to Him and you just kind of reach out and say, thank you, Lord, you have blessed so much.
Yeah, right. And we can see from the life of Jesus, what kind of relationship did he have? Did he spend time with God? He was God. He is God. But did he still take time out to pray, to know the scriptures?
Oh, yeah.
What verses can you think of to talk about that? Right, Mark 1:35 says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, Jesus went out and departed into a solitary place, and then there prayed.
Mm-hmm.
Mark 6 says, straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Luke 5 says, he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Luke 6 says, he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. So why did Jesus need to pray?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that he needed that time with God. He needed to draw near to Him. And, you know, it's no different than when we draw near to our spouse. Communication is what connects us. It's not when we're out running and busy and doing our own thing and the clutter and loudness of the day. It's when we settle, sit down beside each other on the couch and we begin to talk together and connect. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing. He had to walk away. He had to sit down on the couch. He had to get with God. He had to connect. And they talked and communicated. And you know, just like any time you communicate and connect like that, you walk away with a stronger faith. You walk away with a greater passion and a greater desire to keep serving the Lord. If you never stop and you don't communicate and you're just always running and you're just always pushing God away and you're not drawing near to Him, you're going to get cold. You're going to get weak. You're going to fall into sin. You're not going to think you need God.
And God said, draw near to me,
when,
and I will draw near to you. Go ahead, Lydia.
I believe that when the Bible says that in the cool of the day, God came down and talked to Adam and Eve. I believe that was in the morning. We also had that scripture in Matthew 6:33, where we're really commanded to seek the Lord first and His kingdom and His righteousness.
Yeah, right. If we're not growing closer to God, it's not God's fault. Because imagine that. It's not like us trying to call a doctor and trying to make an appointment. God says, come to me. He wants to meet with us. It's us. It's we who don't want to meet with Him sometimes. But He's always ready. He wants to be with us. Oh, great is that God wants to be with you, with me. We don't take advantage of that as often as we should. If Jesus had to pray, and Jesus wanted to pray, wanted to spend that time with His Father, how much more should we find that strength and to grow in our relationship? What experiences have you had with growing nearer to God because of your time with Him?
I had an experience. Sometimes when things don't go well, you wonder, where's God? But he may be trying to get your attention. And I remember hearing a preacher talking about Moses. When he saw the burning bush, he turned aside. He said, I will now turn aside and see this thing which the Lord has made known to me. And I became sick and needed the surgery. In that time, I really took that time to turn aside and to see, saying I was hearing what Joe was saying about this running all the time. And we do that. We run, we're so busy, but when something happens where you might be in a chair or in a bed, you can take that time and turn aside and meditate on the Lord and learn to hear His voice.
All right. Yeah, what are some excuses that we make or that other people have made for why they don't spend time with God every day?
Too busy.
That's it. That's
right. Too busy is a big one. What was that?
I think a lack of faith, you know. If I really believed,
One of the things that I experienced recently was alarm clock goes off, and if I rise immediately and get up, get dressed, and have my time with God, it seems like there's always more. I hear Him speaking. I hear a word in my heart. And one morning I asked the Lord, why is it when I just lay there and kind of half a slumber on? And the word that came to me was, if your sleep is more important than I am, then sleep on. And that taught me a lesson. It's usually in those first waking hours that I specifically hear God speaking and uttering His word. And if I'm just too lazy, I want that 5 minutes more, I discover that I suffer in my relationship, just like Joe was talking about suffering in earthly, like man and wife relationship. So the Lord had to kind of bring a sharp word to my attention. If sleep is more important than sleep on.
Wow. That's good, Paul.
Yeah, right. There's a lot of things we think are more important. How many of us have time to go to work every day or read the newspaper or read books or entertain ourselves or eat? But we say we don't have time with God all the time. And it is a matter of that, of love, of what's more important. And if we know we need to get up in the... Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to mention, you know, that's been a challenge, that very thought. Because I think, like most of us know, the grapevine, we talk about, you know, pruning. And I've discovered that from time to time, God needs to cut things off and out of our lives that are not fruit-bearing so that we can bear more fruit. And it's, I find it a continuous thing throughout life that God needs to prune in our lives so that our time is more prioritized continuously. Because as new responsibilities come into our lives, we've got to decide what is really necessary.
All right, and that might mean going to bed earlier if you stay up late if you don't need to, if you know you have an appointment in the morning.
Yeah.
You heard of John Wesley? He was a Methodist, the founder of Methodist Church, but he was a circuit riding preacher and was disciplined. And one day a famous politician wanted to meet with him at night. And he said, I can't. I have an appointment with the king in the morning. And he knew if he wouldn't get enough sleep, he wouldn't be awake for the appointment with God.
Wow.
And so we need to look at it like that. Who's more important?
I read every morning at 4 o'clock. He was up every morning.
Yeah, he would sleep from, I think, 10 until 4, 10 at night till 4 in the morning. And not everybody has the time or can do what some of these guys did, but there's a quote, the men who have most fully illustrated Christ in their character and have most powerfully affected the world for Him have been men who spent so much time with God as to make it a notable feature of their lives. Charles Simeon, he was a pastor in England, devoted the hours from 4 till 8 in the morning to God. Mr. Wesley, John Wesley, spent 2 hours daily in prayer. He began at 4 in the morning. Martin Luther, he said, if I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory through the day. I have so much business I cannot get on without spending 3 hours daily in prayer. Martin Luther said if he's so busy, he has to spend time in prayer in order to get done what he needed to get done. And Joseph Alain was a pastor in the 1600s, and he would wake up and hear the milkman out delivering milk. And he would say, how can he be up serving his master before I'm up serving mine? And it is, for a lot of people, the early morning is the best time before you start your day, to spend the first part of your day with God. So when do you spend time with God? Do you have a daily walk with God? How do you?
Yeah.
Let's hear some of your stories of how you spend time with God, what you do. It's more than just praying. We need to read the Bible, too. So how do you guys do it?
4 in the morning.
Wow.
Well,
yeah. Mine's usually 3 in the morning for an hour, and then I go back to bed and sleep and get up at 5 for an hour.
Wow.
Do you have a problem staying awake?
No. No.
I said that's good.
I do feel like I don't have my daily routine unless I do spend that time with God.
I said 4 in the morning, and I... Huh?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying I get up 4 in the morning. I wish I could say it was all the time. My schedule is different, I wish it was all the time, and I do want to do better with that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
All right, yeah, and well, we can always, yeah. All of us can continue to do better, grow in our relationship with God.
For us, Paul, I have, you know, Esther and I have for years just gotten up together early and sat down together and read. Usually we try to read a chapter. Sometimes we'll get into some scripture passages that, you know, lead to discussion, and we sit there and we talk it out. But I find that, you know, it's just better for me if I'm sitting with someone and we kind of bounce things back and forth, and then we always end up in, you know, just spending time in prayer, and it has changed our lives. It really has. It's one of my favorite times of the day is to sit down with my wife and just together go to the Lord and spend time together.
Yeah, and Jesus talks about how important it is to know the scriptures. You can read the Gospels and see how many times Jesus quoted the scriptures, how he knew the Old Testament, how Jesus said, he told the Pharisees, you're wrong because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. That Paul wrote to Timothy, that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise in the salvation through faith, which is in Jesus. And there's a lot of other verses. Isaiah, seek out the book of the Lord and read. It's important to spend time with God, to read the Bible too. And even at the day of Pentecost, when that happened, Peter didn't have to say, well, let me go research and get back to you. He started quoting from them, said, this is what happened, and this is what the prophet Joel talked about. And how many of us could have done that? But what's the purpose of reading the Bible? I mean, we know we like to tell our complaints to God and put in our requests, but why isn't so important to read the Bible?
It's to know God and to find His will, right?
Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then Romans 10 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
That's Lydia. That's the scripture I was thinking. If we're struggling in our faith, read the Word of God. The Word of God honestly, I've been thinking about this, and we talked about it this morning in class. When we read the very words from the lips of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like any other book. You know, it's not. It there's life, there's power in the Word of God.
Right.
And when I skim my eyes down over those words, and I, you know, it causes me to increase in my faith. It causes me to be strengthened, encouraged, challenged, moved in the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
I used to think, you know, people say, okay, now you're a Christian now. You need to start reading the Word of God. You need to start, you know, spending time with God in His Word. And, you know, I used to say that myself over and over to people. But it hasn't been until the last few years that I've realized these. We're getting a lot of background noise. Are we okay?
It's got one.
I just now, as I get older, I realize we have to hang on to these words. They have been, they were penned by the Spirit of God using men of the Old and New Testament. They are the words of God to us. They are our life. And how someone can get up day after day and week after week and not open up the Word of God and just devour the Word. I don't know how that's possible not to. Because if I didn't, I couldn't have faith. If I didn't, I wouldn't know my God. If I didn't, I'd fall into sin. I don't even know what life would be like without devouring the Word of God. Because, again, it is, Hebrews says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. What does that mean?
Yes.
You know, what does that mean? I wish I could fully share that scripture the way it says. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Can somebody help me finish that?
Yeah.
Hebrews 12.
But it goes into
it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It goes between the joints and the marrow.
Yes. There's out of the millions and millions of books that have been written, there is no other book in the Bible that can say that about their book. But the Bible can, because it's the Word of God.
And Jeremiah, God says, is not my word like a fire and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Because it's the Bible that breaks people's hearts, changes people's minds and hearts. It's not the faster sermon, but the Word and the Spirit of God. That's why James Merritt said the primary purpose of reading the Bible is not to know the Bible, but to know God.
Right.
So many professors are out there and pastors that can tell you what the Bible means and explain it, but they don't know God. And you have Peter and James, or Peter and John, and the people looked at them and heard them, and they marveled because they were unlearned and ignorant men, but they knew they had been with Jesus. And that's the difference.
Yep.
If you're with Jesus, you're different.
Yep.
That's why, it seems, one of the most important lessons to teach a new Christian is to start in the relationship with God. Teach them to pray every morning and read the Bible every morning. Show them what David did, how he would get up at night. When he woke up at night, he'd spend time with God. Seven times a day, he would pray. Daniel would pray three times a day. And you think of Psalm 119, 176 verses, all talking about how great the Scriptures are.
Yep.
And he was talking about Leviticus and Numbers and First Chronicles. Those books we avoid, the Old Testament books, and those are the ones that David said he loved. Do we love the Bible as like that?
Well, I need to share something here that when I was growing up in our home, and this is not in any way to be, talked down on my dad. I think it was just kind of the way we were taught. But my dad would never allow us to lay anything on top of the Bible, much less write in the Bible. And I remember the first time that I ran into another born-again Christian, and he had his Bible all highlighted and had little notes and everything. And it was almost like, wow, how can you do that to God's Word? You're adding your own words. And, those were my thoughts. But, since then, of course, my mindset has completely changed, and I love it. I mean, when I see somebody that opens the Word of God and you see all these little notes and scratches and everything else along the sides and highlights, here's a person that is, they read and they devour and they write little reminders, and it reminds me of, I'm not good at remembering scripture, but I remember this one scripture in the Old Testament where it was either Moses or Joshua told the children of Israel to, literally hang the words of God on their frontlets. Oh. If I remember right, that was a word that was used, but it was like, teach them to your children, hang them everywhere.
Yes.
And when I walk into a room where they have scriptures hanging on the doorposts, or written on the walls, or you go into the bathroom and the first thing you see is a scripture promise, a passage, and you just kind of, that's what we're supposed to do right there, walking with God. It's not even so much in, getting up and doing it just in the morning, but all day long, wherever we go. Maybe even have it in the car, maybe at the office, maybe in your toolbox, maybe in your, wherever you go, the Word of God should be everywhere.
What you're saying there just reminds me of a lot of people have their Christianity like a piece of pie. They cut a piece out for work, a piece out for entertainment, a piece out for this or that, and then there's a piece for church and maybe a time of devotions. But as I see it, if we put God in the center of that, it will open the presence of God into every piece of pie. It will open the doors to every piece, and that's what we have to have. We can't separate God's presence and His Word and His Spirit from any of the avenues of our lives. He has to be connected to all of it. And the best way to do that is to get Him into the center, and like you and everybody, out our day and getting with God in the morning, because when we're fresh, and many times the Lord can speak things there in the morning that will guide us and lead us through the rest of the day.
I like that. I asked a preacher one time what Ezekiel's wheel is, the wheel in the middle of the wheel, and he said it's Jesus. Jesus is in the center of everything. He is from Genesis to Revelation, it's about Jesus. And if we have this pie and Jesus is in the middle like the hub and every piece is attached, our work is attached and our everything, our day, our church, our family, everything we do, if Jesus is in the center, He's attached to it and it makes the biggest difference.
Amen. Amen.
How can we say we're going to raise our family for God if we don't know what the Bible says about how to raise a family for God? Or how can we say we're going to be a godly spouse if we don't know what the Bible says about how to be a godly spouse? Or any situation in life, like you're saying. If we don't know what the Bible says, how can we live that way? And so we need to search the Scriptures, spend time with God, ask Him for wisdom, and wait upon Him and listen to what He says.
Yep.
And I know. Imagine being a Christian for 30 or 40 years and never once having read the Bible all the way through. I mean, imagine standing before God and saying, I didn't have time. What? Yeah, it was...
I just said that would be devastating to call yourself a Christian and not have done it.
Mm-hmm. It would show on your daily walk.
Yeah.
Right. And I know
somebody said that...
Pastors that don't spend time with God every day.
Yeah. Do we eat every day? Do we eat every day, and we take care of the physical body, but do we read every day for the spiritual body?
Mm.
I think it's just as important.
It is.
Well, yeah, Jesus said it was more important. Man should not live by bread alone, quoting from Deuteronomy, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Yep.
There was...
Yeah, go ahead.
There was someone made mention today that reading the Word of God is like putting data in your mind, and then when a situation or whatever comes up, the Holy Spirit quickens it, brings it into play into your situation, or if you need a word for someone. I found that true through the years, that by reading, and getting it into me, that many times, especially when my ministers had come to me, there was times that things came out, and he likened it kind of like a computer. You know, a computer, you enter data, you enter stuff, and you can get certain keys, and it brings things up. And so the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance when we enter it in. But if we're too lazy to put it in, he's probably not going to be too obligated to bring it. Like when Jesus faced the devil in Matthew 4, that data was in him. It was not only on a black and white paper, but it was in his being. And so the Holy Spirit said, it is also written. You know, he, I like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Moment of need.
But, David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He knew the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, than the older people, because I keep your precepts. And we can see that with a lot of seminary professors, university professors, politicians. How many people are a lot wiser than they are, in spite of all their learning, because we know God's truth. We can see how foolish their lives are and their beliefs, because they don't know Him.
Yeah. John 14, verse 26, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he says, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I have said to you. So I like that analogy of like the computer, the data. He will bring it to our remembrance. How can He bring it if it's not in there?
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's good, Rebecca.
Yeah.
Recognize my voice again.
I recognize your voice. I think I hear Manny talk every once in a while, too. Is that right?
That's right.
Manny Burkholder?
Yes.
Wow, that's awesome.
Who's this?
Joe Kime.
Joe, yeah. That's what I thought about. Okay.
Yeah.
I miss getting on to these, but I really enjoy them, so keep it up. I love them.
Well, Manny is a Columbia, Missouri guy. Man, I got to share a little bit something. Years ago, I was still wet behind my ears, just fresh ministry. I was out in Columbia, Missouri, and I had heard of a few guys there in that area, that Burkholder boys. And so I went by, and I don't even remember, Manny. Did I run into you or not? I think I left a few things at each one of your houses. And,
yeah.
You know, somehow we somehow connected, stayed connected over the years. That was probably 12 years ago or more, maybe.
It was more than that, I think, yeah.
So, but anyways, I just appreciate your heart, Manny. I appreciate what you're doing out there, and just thank you for being part of this tonight.
And I appreciate what you guys do. I said that, and this might not be, if it's kind of off, let me know, but my wife was just, we just found out she has Alzheimer's.
Oh, wow.
And so I need prayers.
Wow.
Just keep us in your prayers.
Paul, can we pray for Manny right now?
Yeah,
I was going to suggest that.
Sure. Manny, what is your wife's name?
Sheila.
Can you say that again?
It's Sheila.
Sheila.
Yeah.
Sheila.
All right. Let me just pray for you. Father, these things are so big and heavy. They're more than what we can handle. They're more than what Manny can handle right now. And I just come to you, and I cry out to you on behalf of Manny and Sheila. And Father, I pray, first of all, that you would give Manny peace in his heart. I pray now that the heavens would open up and peace would flow down into Manny's heart, and that he would be able to put this whole thing in your hand.
Oh, yes.
Lord Jesus, it is the cry of our heart that you would heal Sheila.
Yes.
That you would give her many more great years with a good mind.
Yes.
Oh, God, I just pray that you would not allow the evil one in any way to come in here and throw obstacles in their path. But I pray that through all of this, you would get the glory and the honor and the praise from Manny and from Sheila and from all of those that are around. We thank you for that.
All right. Yeah, and we can see how important a relationship with God is when difficult times happen, too. The unsaved has nowhere to turn. We can turn to God. And if you don't know the scriptures and the comfort
and
of God, you're all alone.
I found that out 33 years ago. The only way I could turn and have peace was with Jesus. And he gets sweeter every day when I stand on his word.
Mm-hmm.
But with fellowship with you guys, it's just so comforting.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. Praise God. We need each other.
Yes, we do.
Right.
Yes, we do. Uh-huh.
And that's why, too, it's important when you're dating or considering marriage to make sure your spouse also wants to walk with God.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
When you have a family, that you raise your family, teach your children, like Joe said about in Deuteronomy, raise them that when they stand up and sit down and when they rise, that to know the scriptures, to love God,
mm-hmm.
because we all need him. And when I was when I started dating, I met my wife at church. Well, she wasn't my wife then, but I met her at church, and then she would read the Bible sometimes, but she said she had never read the Bible through. So I told her I wouldn't marry her until she read the Bible all the way through. So it surprised her, but she hurried up and read the Bible. And she would call. We'd get home from work. She would call me and ask if I wanted to do something, and I asked her if she had spent time with God yet. And if she said no, I'd say, no, well, call me when you do. And she learned that she had to Oh. And she still married me. But she learned that she had to spend time with God before me. And that's what we should all expect our spouses. Help them. Like Jude said, he gets up and spends time with his wife in the morning with God, reading the Bible and praying. If our children don't see us spend time with God, and if God's not important to us in the eyes of our children, then why would they need God?
That's true. So true.
So how do you help your family grow in their relationship with God? How have you done that in your lives?
We read the Bible. We've always read the Bible and had devotions. Kids growing up. Of course, my son is a minister, and my daughter works at church functions with the ladies. And I got grandkids now that are being brought up in church, which is a blessing. But spending time with them with God and making sure that they get to every function in church, I think is really important because they see us go to church and that. And the fellowship with one another. So important.
Right.
Yeah, it is. And I'd just like to add, too, it's an area that I have often thought, we get one shot at raising our children. And while we're raising them, most of us don't realize that we're not just raising our children. What we do in the lives of our children today will directly affect the way our grandchildren will affect our grandchildren, our great grandchildren, and generations to come. It could go both ways. And I remember the first time I heard that, it was like almost like even like a bigger, like I knew it was a big responsibility to raise my children, but all of a sudden I looked past them and now we have a granddaughter. And I realize now that her life is being affected by my daughter, by our daughter. And I see her doing a lot of the things that we did when we were raising her. And I just, I just stand back and marvel that these things are actually happening now. And I always said this, it's not up to my pastor to raise my children. It's my job, my responsibility. And when I take them to church, my pastor confirms what we're teaching them at home, not the other way around.
And just as important that they see us get along with our pastor and agree with our pastor and never say anything bad about church members or church activities.
Yeah.
Unless it's just not aligned with the Bible. But today, what is it? 90% of the pastors don't use scripture anymore?
Wow.
Ministers say in Canada and some other parts of the world are actually prohibiting certain scriptures to be taught.
Yes. That just scares me. I have a pastor that stands on the word and preaches the word. It's hot. How did they used to put it? I don't remember, but hell hot. And he says he preaches and stands on the word, which I appreciate. But so many of them don't anymore. And I travel so much and get to go in other churches. And I think it was about 90% of them don't use it because they don't want to discourage people from coming. They don't use scripture or read scriptures. And that's devastating in God's eyes.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's why it's more important for us to teach our children about God, to make sure they believe the Bible and stand upon the Bible.
Yes, so true.
Like,
yes. I have an overwhelming burden to tell, just say fathers, particularly to fathers, if you're on the line tonight and you're not having almost a daily time with your family where you sit down and you teach, open the Word of God, even if you read just a few scriptures, boy, I want to challenge you to do that. I don't know how you could raise a family and not make that a huge priority in your family life. And like has been said, boy, if you're not going to a church where the pastor stands on the Word of God, where the pastor doesn't use the Word of God, go find a church that uses the Word of God, that is not ashamed and will preach all of it, not part of it. My goodness.
That's all true. Amen.
Yeah. But boy, fathers, teach your children, teach your grandchildren, open the Word of God. And you know what? You don't need a college degree. You just need the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit will bring it out. He will speak through you. He will use you in ways that you will stand back and marvel at what God has done.
Love your children.
And if you don't have
God loved us.
And if you don't think your relationship with God is that strong now, or you haven't spent much time with God, there's no reason why you can't start now. Start praying with your wife and praying with your children, reading the Bible together. We all start at the beginning, and it's God who gives us the strength and the wisdom.
Yes, never too late, never too late.
Make it a goal to do that every day. Nobody, J.C. Ryle was a pastor in England in the 1800s, and he said no one ever said at the end of his days, I have read my Bible too much, I have thought of God too much, I have prayed too much, I have been too careful with my soul.
Mm-hmm.
But we are going to regret having wasted our time and not spent much time with God, but we're never going to regret knowing God.
So true.
Yeah. I confess my prayer life is not what it should be. And I do want to get it better. I want to make it, I want to hear well done someday. And I know listening to y'all, my prayer life is not what it should be. And I realize I am fall short, I'm way short. And I need to do better. Y'all pray for me if you will, if you remember. Do the same for Thomas Conference.
Think if we're all honest, we would all.
If I was going to say, we could all say we don't do enough.
I'm way short. I'm sorry.
That is why we have
what it
falls short.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say that's why we have these conference calls. It's a challenge to all of us. Jake, you're not alone tonight. I tell you, I appreciate. I mean, we're iron sharpening iron. That's what we're doing tonight.
Yeah.
And the great thing about being a Christian, too, one of them is if we don't know how to pray, we can pray about it. We can go to God like the disciples went to Jesus and say, teach us to pray. And we learn to pray by praying. We increase our faith by going through trials. It's not something we have no control over. It's something we take to God like all of our weaknesses. And we find our strength in Him.
And the neat part about it is, we don't, like it was mentioned there, we don't have to be educated. All we have to do is want to talk to our Father, just like we would talk to our dad. And He listens to us. He knows our hearts. It's easy to pray if we learn how to accept Him totally as our Father. We just talk to Him.
I guess what I'm saying, I guess my biggest thing is, I don't have a set time that I stay, that I keep, you know, like a daily, you know, you do your chores at a certain time, you do this at a certain time. I don't have a set time that I stand on, and then things get away, and I don't do what I, you know, want to do, like spend time with God in prayer. I don't know why that's so hard, but it seems sometimes to be a struggle for me.
Oh, can I say a few
don't
words?
Cut it off.
Can I say a few words? This is Lydia Garber.
Yeah.
Yes, Lydia Garber from New York.
Yeah, I this man that was saying that he has no, you know, he milks his cows and stuff. Let me tell you something. I have found that talk to God just while you're doing things, any time of the day. You know, the Bible does talk about praying constantly, and you can talk with your Father just any time. He's there all the time, and you can talk to Him while you're milking cows, and just, you know, it's a there's no set time when you have to be just at a certain time. It's good to have rules for a certain time, sure that you get it done. But then you need to be doing all the time, just walking and talking with the Lord. Every circumstance.
Very well put.
I have a friend that says she likes prayer because it's so handy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Prayer is handy.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, it is handy. You know, God listens to you. When no man listens to you, God still does, you know.
Right,
and he,
right.
And He talks back, and you can understand that He does talk back if you hear Him, you know.
Right.
Today I was coming home from church, and it was snowy and icy. And I was just going along, and everything was going good. Till all at once, I lost control and started overcorrecting and backed into the snowbank. And I was so deep in that I couldn't get out. And nothing was wrong otherwise, but I just started asking God, you know, to help me. And the next thing I knew, that people were starting to stop, and there's a big truck came that he looked at me and he said, I can pull you out. And I didn't have to go anywhere for it. And I just told that man, well, he's from the Lord. You know, he's been a messenger from God to help me out. And he was just such a good man, you know. And I just came home and I told the family about it. And I just said, well, there's a lot of good people out there, you know. And so I just felt really thankful and good, you know, about how the Lord is just with you all the time. If you are with him, draw close to God and he'll draw close to you.
Right, yes. Wow.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll give the phone number again if anybody wants to write it down to listen to this call again or tell somebody else. The phone number is 641-715-3800, 641-715-3800, and enter PIN number 89752. Next month, April 5th, the topic is, we plan to have it be on the Bible from our second, the B in the ABC studies that we have. So talk about what the Bible is, how should we use it, why we need it, and go along with this one and tell us how much God's Word means to us. So hope you can all join us then. Any other closing thoughts? Thanks for being here and talking.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for inviting me, Joe.
Thanks, everybody, for praying for me and my wife this evening also.
Amen.
Yeah, Manny, would you like to close in prayer?
Yes. We just thank you, Jesus, for all these, Father, that you have brought them in my life. And there's a reason, Lord. I know that you brought them just for strength, and as iron sharpens iron, so that we can sharpen one another, Lord, to walk closer with thee in our trials that we have, Lord, that there's comfort and there's peace, that we can walk with you daily. Father, I just want to bless, that you would send a blessing to each one of them that was on here, and that,
Thank you, Lord,
that it would comfort and strengthen each one of us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Until next time, Lord, bless each one. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes. Yes, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, and some dark and cold. And there is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle.